Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Today and next Sunday, our Christmas service, I'll be sharing about Jesus. The title of my message today, God with Us. How many believe that God is with you? Amen. That God is with you. Amen. And that's my title this morning, that God is with us. God is with us. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it reads, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." You know, as we're about to celebrate Christmas, and you see, and maybe in your own home, you have a Christmas tree, you put lights on, the gifts, it's getting intense with the gifts. Some of you are stressing out, because all you want to do is give gifts of $100 and over. Hallelujah. I think I hit the nail already. Praise God. Amen. And Christmas, it is said that it is marked as a season of, that's when family gets together, celebration, togetherness, warmth. But for some, it might be another story. There's many who are widowed, single, far from loved ones, or don't have their loved ones anymore. And in those seasons or in those moments, loneliness can feel louder. Loneliness. And it's nothing new, loneliness, in this time of season, Christmas. But there's just something about that. It seems like it becomes more visible. And that's why the title of this message is God with Us. You know, once again, a lot of reasons. But let us not forget, church, God is with you. Amen. God is with you. And in this passage, the Bible says, verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet," speaking of Isaiah. And it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Now you will notice that in the Gospel of Matthew, this is a phrase that he mentions a lot, is this part right here, that it might be fulfilled. This is a use of words that he uses, Matthew, through all the book of Matthew, the gospel. Because if you really think about it, God is a God who fulfills. Did you know that? God fulfills. God fulfills his promises. God fulfills what he says. And here in the Bible, it shows us, and it talks about the prophet Isaiah. He's mentioning or speaking about Jesus Christ. Now, notice right there in verse 22 and verse 23. Because I want to explain this. Verse 22. He says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. You know, there's some debates. There's people that believe that this passage right here in Matthew, or even in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, those who deny the virgin birth of Jesus, they always like to point out that what Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14, that word virgin, which in the Hebrew is Alma. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correct, but bear with me. Can also be translated as young woman. But if you go to the New Testament, like what we just read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, 23, the Septuagint, which is the Hebrew translated in Greek, uses the same word, virgin, or that's the meaning of it, virgin, which speaks of a young woman that would give birth. Bear with me. So we believe that what Jesus or the Bible says is speaking that it was a virgin. It wasn't just a young woman, but that she was a virgin, Mary. You guys believe that? This is very important, church. Because there's people that say that that scripture doesn't mean that she was a virgin. It just means that she was a young woman. But the Bible teaches us that word virgin could mean a young, unmarried woman. Not just a woman, but that she is or was a virgin. And that she was conceived by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is how mighty and powerful God is. And this is important because it goes back to a prophecy from Isaiah. And it fulfills 700 years, that is believed, 700 to 740 years after it fulfills that prophecy that was given. See, because God fulfills his promises. And here in Matthew, it fulfills, speaking of who? Jesus. Now, I want to share with you six things very quickly with you. And it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Number one, Emmanuel. God with us. You got to believe that God is near you. God is not just, which the Bible does say, he's seated in his throne. In other words, God is not just above us, or God is not just behind us, but God is with us. Very important. And you got to remember that God became man in the flesh. And even if you go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, it says this: I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So when Jesus is born, he enters this world. As God. Notice what I'm going to say. He enters into history with humans. It's not no more that God sent a message, or God used a prophet to send a message, or God used an angel to send a message. But no, now, according to the Bible, it's God himself through Jesus. Now God is with us. So in your moments, loneliness moments, or whatever you might be facing, or even in this season, you got to know that God Emmanuel, God with us. In other words, now God said, you know what? I'm going to come in a human form. That's why we are blessed, church. God is all over, if you can believe. So number one is his nearness. You got to know that God, like right now, I know God is here. But there's times where God will manifest in your life where you could maybe many times feel him, or you could, or you know that he's there because you open up his word and the words popped out of the page and God spoke to you or ministered to you. So that's number one. Number two, Emmanuel shows us that God is with us in his incarnation. God himself taking on flesh, but without sin. And it's in the Bible. It's written. Don't think I'm making it up. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. And look what he says. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says, and the word became flesh. Speaking of Jesus, that Jesus is God. And the Bible says, and he dwelt among us. His incarnation, God in the flesh. See, God is among us. What does that mean? What does that tell us? That God taking on flesh, or what the Bible teaches about his incarnation, It means this, that God has experienced, Jesus being God, he experienced what? Human weaknesses. That's why he understands your weaknesses. Did you know that? God understands your struggles. He understands your temptations. And the Bible says, but without sin. Aren't you glad that you serve a mighty God that understands your struggles? That he understands what you're facing right now? That's the God who we serve. That he understands, he's been there, and everything, whatever you want to call it, but without sin. That's the God whom we serve. That is the God whom we serve. God, even himself, he suffered. Jesus, he suffered. He was spit on, he was beaten. He was tempted by the devil. See, God understands when you're being tempted by the devil. He understands your moments, or those times where it might be some type of suffering. God understands. But you got to be reminded of what the Bible says, church. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you. You're not alone in this. I said, God, you are not alone. God is with us. And I love this about God, that God became man without ceasing to be God. That's the God we serve. God is up in his throne and God is here. How? By his Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why I know God goes with me wherever I go. He might not like where I go sometimes, but... Oh, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying, right? But you got to know, church, you got to know. And thirdly, Emmanuel, God with us, he never abandons his children. If anything, church, we abandon God. Did you know that? There's a big difference. God will never abandon you. We abandon him. I'm going to believe what God says. See, we believe more what we feel. What I feel. And a lot of Christians base themselves by what they feel. Their five senses. Or I feel that God. Oh, I feel that God. You know. But I go by what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God tells me I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that means he's never going to leave me. Doesn't matter the weather, the economy, whatever it is, you know, whatever's happening in the world, happening in your own world. God, I know that the Bible says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And you got to believe that too, church. Just because you didn't get your cupcake doesn't mean he's not with you. You know, people get like that. Well, you know, God's with you, church. God is with you. And the error that we make is that sometimes we try to spiritualize everything. Did you hear me? We try to spiritualize everything. Many times in life, it's got nothing to do with God. It has to do a lot with your own responsibility. Our responsibility. Oh, God didn't give me the job. Or I'm not losing weight. Or this, and that. No. The thing is that you're not responsible. One, you never show up early. You don't take responsibility. You don't do what they ask you to do. You know what I'm saying? It's just all about, you know, we say, God, where are you? God is there, and God will never leave you. Just look at the Bible. God is a God of instructions. He instructs us. He instructs you. And we always make the mistake saying that, you know, God. But praise God that God is with us and God will never abandon you. You know that when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? The Bible says they sinned and they hid. They hid. But guess what? God didn't abandon them. In other words, let me put it this way. God was merciful to them. Because that's the way God works. God, listen, church. We serve a God of opportunities. A God of second chances. What was Israel fear? They would fear when any time. Listen, Israel, God would tell them, look, all you got to do is just do what I tell you. Follow my instructions. And I got your back. If you're hungry, I'll feed you. If your enemies attack you, don't worry. I'll fight for you. Even the Bible says that in the desert, as they would go, God would make their feet grow, their shoes and clothes. God would give them manna. Everything they needed, God would give it to them. But the moment when God would tell them, look, you shall worship no other God. Don't worship no other God. Only worship me because I'm the true God. I'm legit. God would tell them, praise me, seek me, and I'll take care of you. But guess what? They would wander off. Stubborn, going other places, the wrong direction. And God would say, okay, look, we're talking under the Old Testament, okay? I want to make that clear. God says, okay, you don't want to listen? All right. I'm going to hit you where it hurts you the most. And what would he do? When the enemies would come, he would permit the enemies to attack them. Attack them, attack the family, attack their children, and still take away everything. And guess what Israel would do? They would cry out again. Lord, forgive us, help us. The typical Christian nowadays. I threw it out there so he could understand me. So they start crying, Lord, you know, we recognize we did wrong and, you know, forgive us. And you know what God would do? The moment he would hear them, he would restore them again. And it was a back and forth thing until God said, you know what? This is too much, man. I'm going to get rid of them. And the Bible, when you read the Bible, that's why a new generation came up. See, so it's us, church. And God is a God of love. Are you with me this morning? At one point, remember Israel? When they said the prophets had warned them. They, at one point they even said, Ichabod, the glory has departed. There was no what? There was no presence of God. You know, and sometimes we say, well, I want God's presence. I want the fire. I want the blessing. I want God to use me. The question is, where are you at right now? How is your heart? How is your spiritual thermostat? Where are you? Don't say God left me or God doesn't love me or God, you know, God hates me or, you know. No. You got to be like the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he went wild. He says, I want my inheritance. I want everything. He told his dad, Dad, I want you to give me my inheritance. I want you to give me everything that's for me. And he gave it to him. And the Bible says that he went to the world. And he went partying. He went on a rampage. He went crazy. He went to the lowest of the lowest in sin. And then suddenly he's like, what am I doing? Surrounded by pigs. And the Bible says that he came, that's the key, he came to himself. What am I doing here when I had everything with my Father? See, church, listen. Don't forget that you have everything with your heavenly Father, Emmanuel, God with us. You have everything. See, some of you didn't catch it because you're getting too religious on me. You need a relationship with your Father. And if you read the Bible says that his Father was outside. When he saw him coming, he was there with open arms to receive him. See, it's never us. It's us, not God. And you know who was hating? The older brother. That's the religious spirit. He's saying like, hey, why are you being so nicey with him? I've been here all this time. And the dad told him, look, you need to understand. There's a need right here, right now. That's the way God works, right? So God never abandons you. We abandon God. The prodigal son, he had it made with his father. Everything he needed, everything. And you want to see God's grace and mercy? When the prodigal son came back, what did the father do? He dressed him up. He gave him a ring, gave him shoes, everything. Because that's what God does. We serve a God of restoration. Remember, we saw the same thing with Job. God gave him everything back. He lost everything, and God gave him everything back. So don't ever say, don't ever blame God. We abandon him. God never abandons you. But see, but the problem is that people, even believers in Christ, can be stubborn. We can be stubborn. Because we stretch his grace as much as we can. I'm cool. Everything's good. I still have my marriage. I still have this. And we just go day by day. But why do you want to wait so long? When you have everything with God, church, everything. No one is going to make you feel better. No one is going to love you like God does. And no one, he'll never fail you like man does. Some of you, you put your faith so much in man that you're going to be disappointed the day of tomorrow. Yeah, I know what I'm telling you. You will be disappointed. But God will never disappoint you. People tell me sometimes, or the one that never disappoints is God. Okay, let's go to the next one. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Number four, Emmanuel, God with us. God fulfills his word. Think about it, church. I want you to see this. 700 years. A prophecy was given in Isaiah 7:14. All the years, 700 years, plus including the 400 years between Malachi, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And God did not forget. That's the God we serve, church. That we believe his promises and what he says is going to be fulfilled if we don't give up. I said, if we don't give up. Imagine all these years, 700 years passing by. Who's ever done that? What human plan has survived 700 years, but God is true to his word? And the Bible says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. Church, God's word will never pass away. Whatever he says, he's going to fulfill it. And it is believed that it was 7 centuries that passed from that prophecy. Think about that. 7 centuries passed. Kingdoms rose and fell. Prophets died. Empires rule. But God kept one promise. I will be with you. And guess what, church? God is still with you. And God is with me. Don't get it twisted, church. Just because things aren't going the way you want them, that God has abandoned you. No, God is with us. And you know how God works, that God fulfilled the promise. It came through after 700 years. You know where it was fulfilled? Of all places. At the manger. A place you would never think of. You would think, you know, he's going to be born in a palace. No, God said, no, it's going to be in a manger. That's the way God works, church. In the least places you expect. And see, it's the same thing. The promises of God, they're going to fulfill in the least places that you can't even imagine. It could be a person. It could be a place. But one thing I know, it's going to be his timing, but God will fulfill it. God will fulfill it. You know how many testimonies you've heard of mothers praying for their children to get saved? And some they got to see. And some got saved after the mother passed away. But God fulfilled it. God fulfilled it. And that is not to discourage you, because if you believe God, God can do it now. But if not, rest assured that God will fulfill his word. Emmanuel, God with us. Number five, quickly. Emmanuel is God's dwelling place. God with us. Before Christ, God, the Bible says that God dwelt where? Tabernacle. The Old Testament. And then from the tabernacle, he dwelt where? In the temple. And now, by the grace of God in Christ, God dwells now where? Human bodies. And now, after Christ, remember Christ, he said, hey, I'm leaving. But I'm not going to leave you to be by yourselves as orphans. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And now God dwells in us, the believers, through what? Through the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Church, the Spirit of God dwells in you and he dwells in me. According to 1 Corinthians 3:16. So God dwelt where? Tabernacle. The temple. Christ. After Christ, now he dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. And he continues now through the church. And lastly, Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to have a relationship with you, church. It's not just about salvation. Now, salvation is great. And there's only salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he rescues us, you and me, from sin. But now it's all about a relationship. How many know that God forgave your sins? And now God is with us now. As someone said, Jesus didn't come simply to bring us to God. He came to bring God to us. And that's what we're celebrating Christmas, church. Celebrating Christmas is saying this: I came for you. He came for you. He came for you. He chose you. He picked you. And that is an honor to be a child of God. And I conclude with this. And this is very important, church. Emmanuel, God with us, does not mean, hear me, number one, that God will fix everything immediately. How many know God's a fixer? God can fix anything. But it doesn't mean he's going to fix it immediately. That's number one. Number two, that God will remove every storm. But it does mean this. You and I, very important, you and I will never face anything alone again. How many believe that? And if God was with us, like I shared earlier in the manger, he was with Jesus at the cross. He is with us forever. So always remember, church, a storm in your life or whatever you might be facing, know that God is with you. You're not alone. I'm not alone. And one thing I've learned is that the closer I walk with God, the more I walk with God, the more I find out that I'm not alone. I don't know if you caught that. The closer I walk with God, the more I walk with God, the more I find out I'm not alone. But the less I walk with him, or the less I'm far from him, I find out that it's me that's far away from God. And I want to encourage you this morning, church. This year is almost over. Don't wait for 2026. Right now. You know how they were saying, like, why do you wait until January 2026 to start on a diet? Do it now. Cold turkey. Right now, church. Get close to Jesus right now. Right now, get close to Jesus. Don't worry about, look, I'm going to break it down for you good. I'm just going to say this. Whatever's crossing your mind, you're not going to miss nothing. You're not going to miss nothing. You will not miss anything if you get a touch from God.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.